Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live Chat Room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Brian McLean on today's news talk radio, TNT.
Well, my mind is a little distracted from the other World War III because America's being destroyed. So it's very difficult for me to focus on what's going on, but I'm doing my best. But I would just like to pump the brakes on all this for a moment and say, close the effing border, all right? That took a lot of self-restraint to use EFFING for me, because I'm seeing numbers that are incalculable coming across our border, our southern border, and let's not forget our northern border, our seaports, and our airports. We have people flooding into the country from 162 other countries. Close the freaking border. And I'm not saying that because of what's going on right now. I've been saying that for years now. Let's talk about Joe Biden for a second here. Joe Biden is hypocritically sending weapons to Israel and Ukraine while simultaneously fighting to disarm us here in America. Can someone please square this for me? Can someone please square this for me? We're not allowed to protect ourselves here. We're not allowed to have a bump stock, a piece of plastic. We're not allowed to have any of these things on our rifles. Oh, wait, no, we just want to take your rifles all away. But we're going to take your tax dollars and send them to the Ukraine, where 500,000 people have been put in a meat grinder. Do you wonder why you're not seeing the carnage out of Ukraine? Because they're dying in massive swaths and being put in mass graves. They don't show you that one though, do they? No, no, no. You have to go to foreign sources. You have to go to social media. Oh, wait, which social media can you go to see the carnage that's happening in Ukraine? Meta products? No. X.com? Not really. What's left? You go to LinkedIn? Where else do we go? Snapchat? Is that where we? No. Telegram really is the only app I can think of where I can click in to an independent journalist and see what they're talking about and see what kind of video they have and see what kind of death and destruction they're aware of. Death and destruction that's happening with your and my tax dollars. 500,000 people and climbing. But they want to take your gun away. They want to take your rifle away, right? You got a stabilizing brace on your AR-15? Well, you better start measuring the barrel. You better start looking at the ATF website. You better start figuring out if the injunction that was passed by Gun Owners of America, that was won by Gun Owners of America and Firearm Policy Coalition and 2A Foundation, see if that applies to you, right? Or risk what? 10 years in prison? Tens of thousands of dollars in fines? Uh-huh, sure. But we'll send AK-47s off to poor babushka in Kiev, right? That's fine, because they got to defend themselves, right? They're defending democracy. What is the democracy that they're defending over there? Journalism has been shut down. Religious institutions have been shut down. Political parties have been shut down. Yet billions of dollars go there. And now Joe Biden comes out and says, we're going to send as much money and weapons to Israel as possible. We're going to work to disarm you guys here. There's 10 million new people here. We don't know who they are. We know they come from 162 different countries. How many of those countries are so-called democracies? How many of those countries are hiding terror cells? Why would those countries and those terror cells not take advantage of an open border in the United States of America? So, yay, more billions for Israel. How much debt do we have right now? Can you even calculate it? Because it's difficult for me when I get into the trillions. I start having a hard time conceptualizing how many dollars they are. How many $1 notes have been sent there? So, yeah. And Israel also has been doing their own gun control for the last few years, disarming a lot of their citizens, and now they're reversing it. Right? Well, is that what it's going to take here? Are we going to have to be under massive attack? Is that the plan? Or are they just going to keep doing gun control after something pops off here, when something pops off here? And you can bet it will. You can bet it will. We've talked to a number of border and homeland security and citizens. Everybody's expecting it. Anyone who understands what's going on the border is expecting it to come here. So if you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host you'd like to hear on TNT Radio, or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss, then we want to hear from you. All you got to do is complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website, which helps us make a difference right here at TNT Radio.
Checking off the boxes.
Established, reputable.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The days of bailing everybody out really need to be over. This has got to stop. You know who it enriches? It enriches the military-industrial complex, which is paid for, again, by you and I. This is just unbelievable. Unbelievable people clamoring for war. We already have one here. We have invading forces here. They're not all dreamers. They're not all families. They're not all people looking to escape from poverty. It's just not the case. Some of those people are here. I'm not saying they're not here. I'm not saying they're not among them. They actually perform a valuable service to those that want to destroy our country. Because when you put the family units, the children and the women, into an area of our country, be it in the Tucson sector, the Eagle Pass sector, McAllen sector, out in New Mexico, out in San Diego, when the coyotes and the cartels overwhelm the processing of a certain sector, that's when the gotaways come through. Can you imagine being on a workforce that has had to process over 2.5 million people in the last year or so, with a wide open border? Can you imagine how busy that would be? Do you get a lot of emails? Do you do a lot of processing, a lot of documents, a lot of reports, certificates, waivers, tickets, whatever? Could you does your organization have the bandwidth to process 2.5 million people a year? I'm impressed if it does. Well, I'm sorry to say it, but I'm afraid that, for lack of a better term, the New World Order, you could point to various NGOs, organizations, World Economic Forum, Davos Crowd, UN, etc. They own all the Western leaders. And all the leaders are reading from the same script right now. This is orchestrated, and the masses are acting, sadly, just the way they expect them to when they apply propaganda. And for those of us paying attention, we see what's happening, right? I mentioned this in the last hour. And I am Ian Smith Fitness wrote this on his social media today, and I'm echoing it. Did we not learn anything? Can we not see they're plucking at our heartstrings? Don't you feel manipulated? Ian writes, the right laughs at the left for swan diving head first into, quote unquote, the current thing, and then turns around and does it themselves. If it's being blasted on the news 24/7, do yourself a favor and use some discernment before you go putting any flags or black squares in your bio. All this, I stand with this, I stand with that. What do you stand with? You stand with violence. You stand with propaganda. You stand with intelligence agencies. You stand with bankers who've been behind all our world wars and conflicts. You stand behind the military-industrial complex that makes billions of dollars on death. Remember, if you don't wear the mask and stay home, you're a grandma killer. And you don't care about immunocompromised people. Remember that one? Did you buy that? Did you behave accordingly? How do you feel about it now, looking back? Remember the black square? If you don't post the black square on your social media, you hate black people. Oh, what? Excuse me? No, I don't. And no, I won't. And what about this one? If you don't support Ukraine, or maybe if you support Donald Trump, you're a Russian sympathizer and you love Putin. No, not necessarily. Remember this one. This one is from the right just recently. If you don't support Tim Ballard and go donate to OUR, you don't care about child trafficking. Okay. And now here we are, and if you don't stand with Israel, you're a terrorist sympathizer and an anti-Semit. Wow. I agree with Ian on this one. You people are tiresome. It's very tiresome to be browbeaten and politicized and polarized and pushed into a dialectic. Tiresome doesn't even cover it. This kind of propaganda that has been normalized, this kind of politicization that has been normalized over the last, I don't know how many years, I'll just say decade. It of course goes way, way further back than that. It gets into a very deep discussion about propaganda and intelligence agencies, which we will discuss with Jay Dyer in this hour. But yeah, you really want that? You really want to be pushed in a corner like that? And I'm not saying anybody's violence is good. I'm not saying any of this violence is acceptable. I'm simply pointing out that we are being given a binary choice here. And we're all dealing with it. I know you're dealing with it right now. I'm not dealing with it too badly because I'm used to it. I'm used to being the grandma killer. I'm used to being the person that's told you hate black people because you didn't put a black square on your Instagram account. I'm used to being called a Russian bot and a Russian sympathizer. And all of us need to really, really think about what has been come out of Homeland Security, what has come out of FBI, what has come out of mass media cartel with regards to domestic terrorism, quote unquote, domestic terrorism. People are literally parroting the government lines from the same government in our conservative community here in the United States. Same people that put you on terror watch lists, the same people that use the IRS against you. Same people that used fill in the blank three-letter government agency against you. And when I say three-letter agencies, that's to include FOX at CNN and MSDNC. I know that's more than three letters, but I added a couple. This is an abject mess. And it goes in a very dangerous directions if we're not able to defend ourselves from predatory mass media cartels. We're going to take a break here with the station. Got a station message coming at you. This is the Brian McLean Show on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
For the first time in the history of the United States of America, Speaker of the House was ousted. Now, this has always been a provision in the rules and regulations of the House of Representatives, how the lawmakers do their daily business, but it's never actually been executed until yesterday. Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, Republican majority, of course, only just by 4 seats, and he was ousted after rebels within his party claimed that he failed. He failed the constitutional purity test in a big, big way, and he was sent packing. Incredible. With the help of the Democrats, of course, but that's just incidental. Kevin McCarthy is out. An incredible shift in the U.S. House. Who's going to be replacing this speaker? Certainly not McCarthy himself. He's not going to resubmit himself. Sometimes he'll run again. No, he's not going to do that. It's going to be a whole list of new nominees.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
If you're talking about it,
our children are not guinea pigs for science experimentation.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
While I'm throwing dialectics out there at you that you should know to be aware of by now, I'll throw one more out here. Here it is. If you don't support the LGBTQIA plus community, then you're transphobic. Remember that one? And if you think that there are no intelligence agencies, politicians, bankers, NGOs, and other interests involved in setting up these dialectics for you, you got another thing coming. And here to discuss with me is Jay Dyer, author of Esoteric Hollywood, the man behind jaydyer.com, jaysanalysis.com. He can also be found guest hosting InfoWars on Fridays, I believe, throughout the month here and there, as that is a rotating spot. But Jay, welcome to the program here. It's great to see you. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Hash. I always love coming on your show. It's a great high quality podcast. So glad to be here.
Hey. Yeah, we're really glad to have you. Always appreciate your input. So we've got this this thing popping off. The hashtag current thing is now Israel v. Hamas or v. Palestine, depending on how you look at that. I can't really call it a war because Palestine is not a recognized state, but that doesn't stop the mass media from calling it that. And Jay, I brought you in because you're an expert in so many things, but you're very well read on globalism and weapons of mass migration and propaganda. You and I have spent many, many, many hours with our colleagues talking about propaganda. And I just want to have your take on the potential involvement of intelligence agencies, banks, military industrial complexes, and propagandists with what we're seeing right now. So over to you. What are you thinking about all this?
Yeah, this is really complex. I'm certainly not any kind of expert on the Middle East. I've read several books on the topic. And so I've tried to, you know, kind of keep up and familiarize myself with the history of the region, which is, again, really complex and difficult. I don't think there's an easy answer as to what, like, you know, the solutions would be, but We do know that, you know, back several decades ago, there was the Greater Israel Project, the Oded Yanon plan. And so, you know, what means by might be used to bring about that plan could play into, you know, what's happened in the past few days. Now, you might say, well, how or why would that be, given the fact that Hamas made this move, supposedly, which is now the greatest intelligence failure in the history of the fairly recent nation state of Israel. I guess this would then be their 9/11, as mainstream media is saying. It's the new 9/11, or it's Israel's 9/11. And the very notion that, you know, this extremely technologically sophisticated, probably the most sophisticated in the Middle East, government and apparatus, military, right, Israeli military, that they would have such a level of failure, to me, is suspicious. I did find some of the older articles that are really relevant to this, with the notion that Hamas was actually a spawn of Western intelligence, Muslim Brotherhood, and Mossad itself. That's still, you can still find those articles at Washington Post. You can find them at Haaretz. And I found the 18 or 19 article where Netanyahu was saying that Hamas is needed. The government of Israel needs Hamas there to ensure that there's never any kind of Palestinian state. I'm not involved in taking a side of either Islam or you know, the Israeli state. I think from my vantage point, of course, they're both contrary to the religious views that I have as Orthodox, but I can try to, you know, kind of give a perspective of this, which gets into, you know, this is the 70, you know, Israel at 75, right? So I think the choice to make the move on a Sabbath was intentional. My suspicion, I can't prove it, would be that they let this happen in order to make probably moves on what they would like to do in terms of the Greater Israel Project. But ironically, the original plan was not, I don't think, where things went today. Originally, this was a British imperial project. Quigley has a whole section on what Lord Rothschild and Lord Milner had for the project of Israel with the Balfour Declaration. And they actually had a plan to have it partitioned. They were going to have both a outpost of Zionism and an Arab state that was partitioned, that they could both play, that they could play both sides. That's page 171 of Quigley. And so they promised both sides this to keep it as this kind of powder keg. So that might be what was meant by, you know, Netanyahu when he said that the existence of Hamas is necessary to ensure that there's not established a Palestinian state. But again, that's just me kind of looking at the history. I'm certainly not an expert on this. But according to Quigley, it was actually Lord Rothschild and Lord Milner, not Balfour, that were behind the Balfour Declaration, and that it actually promised to both the status, which I think was a British imperial strategy. However, it was Ben-Gurion and the Stern Gang that then overthrew British rule in Israel. And so they were really tired of being ruled over by the Brits. And so they engaged in the bombing of the King David Hotel. This is the Irgun of Begin and Shamir Lehi, the Stern Gang, the Irgun. And this then later leads to the establishment of kind of the independence of Israel, so to speak. But as to how independent they really are, I think that's up for debate, because we know that British intelligence actually brought in at least two Nazis, Otto Skorzeny and Reinhard Gehlen, to train the Mossad. And then it actually, the deeper you go into this, it turns out that Reinhard Gehlen continued helping Israel up into the 1970s in their conflict in the 1970s. So Gehlen was actually there helping Mossad, get an SS dude helping the Mossad.
Yeah.
So we have to, I think, look past a lot of the kind of, you know, public pop stories to understand the bigger geopolitical designs at work here, and where exactly they want to take it. I don't know, but my guess would just be, off the top of my head, something like the Oded Yanon plan.
Yeah, you know, and it's really interesting. I appreciate you bringing this context to us, because it's like, right now, if you look at all the world leaders, if you look at, God save us, if you look at the foreign media, the social media right now, it's an absolute melee. And It's very similar to when COVID hit. It's like either you're a grandma killer or you're not. You know, you're either going to stay home and happily wear the ritual muzzle of shame, or you're a grandma killer. And we're seeing that same kind of rhetoric. And my biggest concern with that is it leaves no room to say, hey, wait, what about, where's the anti-war people? Like, what if we don't want to see extra killing? What and where's the longer term vision? Like, what happens if Israel literally like wipes Palestine off the map? You know, there's half the people in there under the age of 18 by some of the estimates that I'm seeing, and there's plenty of civilians in there, but you know that they're now reintroducing the language of subhumanism, which is very World War II-esque to me. I got a headline inbound here, Jay, so I'll take your comments on that, particularly the subhuman talking point that is now trying to be normalized by mass media. We're with Jay Dyer right here on the Brian McLean Show at Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
We're breaking news.
Oh, okay, carry on.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. They keep finding more victims of Hamas's terror attack in Israel. Gaza is getting hit from the air, the ground, and the sea. The Israeli Navy is shelling the beaches in a full-on siege. And a ground invasion is believed to be next. There's an effort to clear a path for the Israeli military before they actually enter the Strip. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said during Tuesday's White House press briefing that they're still working to confirm the location of more than 20 Americans missing, killed, or captured in the terror attacks in Israel over the weekend.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We're on air 24/7 online globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Check out Jay Dyer at jaysanalysis.com. Pick up his books, the Esoteric Hollywood series. They're excellent. Now, Jay, let me read you this real quick. This is a X.com from Joel Rafiti. There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who understand what a false flag operation is, and those who are energetically manipulated into curated and contrived narratives designed to evoke an emotional response in order to fulfill the agenda of those actioning the false flag operation. Now, I'm not saying this is a false flag, but I find that pretty interesting statement. And maybe you could relate that to this idea of dehumanizing people all over the planet right now.
Yeah, definitely intended to be a polarizing event. One thing that we see in the old strategy of the empires, British Empire, and then I suppose you could say the American Empire as well, kind of adopted the same British strategy, was partitioning. So you'll notice that, you know, after the two world wars and after the later, you know, conflicts in the 20th century, we noticed a lot of countries would be split and partitioned. And Quigley outlines that as a strategy of partitioning, not just Israel, but also Ireland and India. That's the old British strategy of partitioning that the Anglo-American establishment picked up to divide these countries, right, in between or in the middle or however, East-West Germany. These kinds of partitioning strategies work very well, I think, on a bigger level for control and for managing dialectical conflicts. But, you know, it does look like the Israeli power bloc wants to sort of make a move here. And I think that both sides are using a lot of fake stories, fake things going around in media. I saw, that story that the third oldest Orthodox church being bombed, that turned out to be fake news. I would imagine that there's, you know, propaganda, fake stories flying on both sides. So, and that's not to minimize the conflict. This is definitely a real conflict, but it does look like this is a move again to polarize everyone. And then I think they also are beginning to bring in, they're trying to tie in, Russia's in the background involved in this, right? they were trying to say, if the conflict brings Iran in, then necessarily Russia must also be in the background. And so they're tying it to a Russia propaganda and maybe China too. And so, you know, there's, I guess, a powder keg at work here that could blow up into something bigger. But it's just a really crazy situation. There's no easy answer to it. I think we've already tried in the West to have these peace accords. Then we get various assassinations, if I recall, which I think helped Likud come to power. If I recall, there were different assassinations that occurred. Barry Kamish, I think, wrote about one of these assassinations that helped Likud come to power some decades ago. I don't remember all the details, but I also think that, you know, it's more complex because even though Hamas was originally created by British intelligence and kind of allowed to be there, and CIA and Mossad as well helped with the founding of this. And it comes out of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is an older British intelligence controlled Islamic network. It's possible that they, you know, eventually also moved away from being kind of under that aegis. And so they really do have an opposition to Israel. So, but according to what, I'll read the exact quote from Netanyahu from a few years ago, which is where I'm kind of deriving part of this. He says, quote, from Haaretz in 2017 or 18, he says, anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of the Palestinian state has to support Hamas and transferring money to Hamas. Netanyahu told this to the Likud party's Knesset in 2019. He says, this is part of our strategy. So I don't know that that necessarily means they're completely controlled, but, you know, kind of like a lot of these proxy groups, they can be allowed to be there, allowed to be a threat. They can be rolled out whenever they're necessary.
Which is similar to the way that the Central Intelligence Agency has worked with Al-Qaeda,
yes,
and ISIS and al-Nusra, exactly, and some of these other places, you know, groups of people that we've seen, jihadi, you know, groups of people that we've seen all over the Middle East. And you know, when you just kind of look back at all those things, it's like so much civilian death is associated with all of those. I mean, I hearken back to when Patrick Henningsen and you and I were talking and our colleagues were talking about what was going on in Syria between, you know, 2015 and 2018 or so. And
yes,
we uncovered so much lies from the media, so much propaganda, and a lot of it in reverse.
Yeah.
You know, they'll tell you that Assad is barrel bombing his own people. But then, you know, an independent journalist like Patrick Henningsen and they actually, or Vanessa Bealey or some of these other people that we worked with, and they actually go there, they talk to these people and they discover that actually these people are being terrorized by the so-called moderate rebels. I mean, you know, and like you, I'm not an expert on this conflict or anything, but I am a bit well-versed in propaganda and media and how that works when they want to drum up war support. So are you concerned that because of our open border situation, and as we've discussed, and as Jamie brought up recently on Boiler Room, the weapons of mass migration can play into this? Do you suspect or think anything about the potential cells that may exist in Europe and here in the United States after so many new people have come here?
Yeah, that is a possibility. I mean, you know, you could have a, you know, Western allowed, funded, or perhaps aided, even controlled. You know, think about 9/11, right? If we look at the Saudis, they clearly had the allowance by Western intelligence to be in the U.S., to be trained at Florida bases to fly the planes. You know what I mean? So we had, and the NSA, by the way, according to Bamford, was watching them the whole time. So the idea that, well, we had no idea, right? That's all nonsense. They were allowed to be there. They were aided. They let a lot of that happen, in my view, 9/11 on purpose. So, you know, it's not anything new to warfare to consider the possibilities of letting things happen or aiding them or false flags. It's always a possibility. And that also includes the existence of networks of people that they can pop off to hype up the strategy of tension. You know, I've been reading a lot on Gladio, and Gladio really did transition into the war on terror at the end of the Cold War. A lot of the same cells of Gladio that were training the fascists and preparing for the supposed Soviet invasion of Europe, this also just kind of easily transitioned over into training a lot of the jihadis and people like that for you know, future conflicts, future strategy of tension, the Mujahideen conflict with Soviets. That was all, again, kind of strategized by the Western elites. So absolutely, I would consider it possible that you could have the importation through the open borders of various types of cells and networks And that could be legitimate foreign terror, or that could be Western allowed and fostered stage terror. It could be either way. Anything is possible. Yeah.
So, right. And there's going to be,
and that, by the way, if they did allow that, that would then also bolster, if they felt like, for example, there wasn't enough U.S. support, say for Israel in the region, then you could have a, Hamas or Iran has, set off, a bomb in the United States, right? Or a mass shooting at a U.S. location. And we know it's, Hamas and Iran together, something like this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up in just in our last minute or two here, because I'm hearing John McCain from under 6 feet of dirt singing bomb, 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 bomb Iran right now. And we saw a friend of Jeffrey, Alan Dershowitz, on the media today advocating for bombing Palestine, wiping Palestine off the map. And, this Iranian chant, the chant of bomb Iran, it seems to be gaining some extra speed right now, or at least those that, want that certainly are getting some extra airtime. So in our last minute or so here, what do you think about the idea of a larger conflict? We also had a spokesperson from Hamas come out and say, hey, it's going to be Friday the 13th, day of vengeance, do this, do that, send us money. I don't know. Are you concerned about that at all, and a larger conflict breaking out?
It's hard to say. I mean, one thing I don't really understand is the difference. Well, the Democrat policy under Obama and Biden towards Iran seems to be, they seem to be more favorable. Perhaps there's large Iranian donations that could, be involved there, or perhaps, according to some theorists, it might even relate to things that a lot of people don't know about, like the drug trade. When we talk about the Iranian revolution, people talk about Iranian oil company and BP, what would become BP in the background. That's definitely true with Operation Ajax. But Dr. John Coleman actually has a really good point, too, about Iran's involvement in the drug trade, which not many people know about, which actually some of the Ayatollahs winked at. So there could be backdoor, Western partnerships relating to arming Iran. We know that went down. Even after the Ayatollahs, the Iran was still being armed by the West, even when they were supposedly opposed to the Ayatollahs. So there could be backdoor deals as well with certain politicians or parties. But then it looks like, Trump really helped, I guess, with it. Was it General Soleimani? Is that who I'm thinking of? So that probably helped ramp this up. And then we had, the Mossad attacks and assassinations of various Iranian physicists. So this has kind of been bubbling in the background. It definitely could break out to something much bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Jay, always appreciate your time and your perspective. Jaysanalysis.com is the website. Jay, any other shout outs for our listener?
Just you can follow me on all the usual social media outlets under my name. And you can follow me at Rockfin and my website.
All right. And it's a fun follow. It's a fun follow. Jay does a lot of great work over there, so do check him out. Jay, thanks for joining us right here on the Brian McLean Show at Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
The first casualty of war is the truth, and this is true of the war that erupted in Israel over the weekend. Details of the attacks, first by Hamas and then by Hezbollah, are sketchy at best and suspect at worst. Many of the narratives that were originally pushed after the attacks began Saturday have already been proven not to be true. Video of a building in Gaza collapsing following bombardment by Israeli forces has proven to be a construction demolition from 2021, with the explosions edited by CGI. A video of a woman being burned alive was similarly debunked, as were photos which were clearly green screened, as evidenced by people in the background floating in midair. Legless. There certainly were horrific attacks over the weekend, funded by the United States government through its proxy in the region, Iran. But be careful about what you believe about what we're being told, because not all of it is the literal truth. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative, this is Viewpoint.
The World Council for Health, WCH, a coalition of scientists, doctors, lawyers, and civil society advocacy organizations opposes the World Health Organization, WHO's, pandemic treaty, expected to be ratified in 2024. The WCH considers the proposed WHO agreement is unnecessary and a threat to sovereignty and inalienable rights. It increases the WHO's power to declare unjustified pandemics, impose lockdowns, and enforce expensive, unsafe, and ineffective treatments against the will of the people. The WCH believes citizens have a right to participate in any agreement that affects their lives, livelihoods, and well-being. In addition, the WHO failed in approving the injurious H1N1 swine flu vaccine for a controversially declared pandemic. The WHO failed during the COVID-19 chapter as it encouraged lockdowns, suppressed early preventative treatments, and recommended product interventions that were neither safe nor effective. The WCH states the WHO cannot be allowed to control the world's health agenda, nor enforce biosurveillance while it is caught in a perpetual conflict of interest by accepting substantial funding from private interests that use their contributions to influence and profit from WHO decisions and mandates.
Brian McLean is Hesher,
and both are on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, yes. So we have a invasion happening right here in our country. So we're going to focus on that for another moment here. And my next guest joined me on the show back on the 28th of September. And I'll remind you, go to episodes at tntradio.live to find any episodes that you may have missed. And for my show and a lot of the U.S. shows, we're on Brisbane time, so that will actually be noted as the 29th of September. But just a little housekeeping, something to keep in your pocket. Now, as we're approaching untold millions of people here, somewhere between 3 and 10 million people in this country coming illegally from over 162 countries, it's just amazing. I can't believe it. But we also have this other problem. We have a voter. Not a voter necessarily, but a vote integrity, an election integrity issue. And my next guest, Garland Favorito, co-founded Voters Organized for Trusted Election Results in Georgia, voterga.org is the website. And we had an amazing and somewhat scary conversation last time he was here talking about the VoterGA findings. They've done an amazing audit over there. So Garland, welcome back to the Brian McLean Show here on today's News Talk. It's great to see you. You know, you have so much information, and in a 20-minute hit or whatever, it's hard to get it all out. So I wanted to get you back in here, and I'm sure there's been update. But yeah, talking about systemic evidence of fraud, errors, and irregularities in the 2020 election, Garland is the man on that one, especially there in Georgia. So the U.S. District Court found on October 11th, 2020, that the Dominion voting system that was used in November 2020 is unverifiable to the voter and in violation of two Georgia statutes. So Garland, tell me what you know, there's so much information that you guys, your audit has been amazing. Maybe we can pick up where we left off last time and give us any updates on VoterGA's findings.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. It is scary, as you said. There's just so much going on that I don't even know where to start. You know, we talked about a lot of things last time, the sworn affidavits of counterfeit ballots in the 2020 election. We talked about the electronic vote manipulation of the images required certification. We talked about, I think, the ballot trafficking operation in Metro Atlanta, as well as Columbus and Savannah. The geo-tracking evidence that leads and proves, shows that. And we even have videos of ballot traffickers fanning the votes out, taking a picture of them to get paid, and then stuffing them in the ballot box. All of this occurred in 2020. And in addition, we had the bribery and interference from Zuckerberg's $45 million distributed disproportionate across Georgia in violation of the equal protection rights of all voters in accordance with the Georgia Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. And so that's just a really a broad overview Since the last time we talked, or one of the things that we are working on now is the issue that Fannie Willis has gone out. She's the Fulton DA, and Fulton County is the largest county in Georgia. It represents about 10% of the total vote. So she's gone out and issued this 18-person indictment against calling it racketeering, because people were trying to point out the problems in the 2020 election. And she's alleged this grand conspiracy, which is directly contradictory to Georgia law. It's just not it's not supported. Racketeering is, of course, for real crimes like bribery and, murder, rape, robbery, arson, very, very serious crimes, not people who are exercising their free speech rights to question the election. So nevertheless, she's done this. So we are actively pursuing a variety of reprimands and, including impeachment. We were the first ones to call for impeachment. It's just really a sad state of affairs in Georgia altogether. And the legislature has not been as active and aggressive as they should be at cleaning up all this corruption. So we're pressuring them, we're pressuring the governor. We are doing everything we can. We're now pressuring the counties to do something to ensure that the 2024 election is secure, as well as that Fannie Willis is held accountable for prosecutorial misconduct for what she's done here trying to indict 18 political adversaries.
Yeah, that sort of lawfare is one of the things that has me most concerned as an American citizen when I see that kind of lawfare. You know, and I've learned more by speaking with subject matter experts like yourself and others from other locations, you know, in Pennsylvania and Arizona and such. And I keep asking myself exactly how many positions, jobs, legal holdings have to fail for this wide swath of problems to present themselves. I mean, to me, that's one of the scariest factors. It's like I'm looking at county clerks, county recorders, secretaries of states, state DAs, local DAs, judges, and then these, you know, legions of lawyers. It's a big thing that we're up against. Am I wrong about that, or is just all those people in just the questionable areas of the country, or how widespread is this?
It's nationwide, nationwide, Brian. You know, they've attacked all of the battleground states with elections attack. Now they're going after the lawyers, as you said. I was in probably since our last shot was in California to testify for John Eastman. It was a grueling 3 days of testimony, but we were able to get all of the evidence of fraud, errors, and irregularities on the record out there. So they now know what happened in Georgia. So that was a good thing. But, you know, you're right. It's a massive attack. And now they're using the judicial system with all these secretly assigned judges, all of them who are political partisans and Democrat Party activists, and they're sitting up there and pretending to be impartial, and they're over Trump, they're over, in this case was John Eastman, even the 19 indictees here in Georgia. There's so much political partisanship, that you can't really get not even a fair trial or the evidence of all of these fraud, errors, and irregularities into the court records. It's very hard to do that.
That also I find extremely disturbing, because after speaking with you, after speaking with Greg Stenstrom and Leah Hoops, I've been told about and shown mountains of evidence. And it's just like, as an American citizen, I'm looking at it going, how can that not be allowed into the courtroom? It's absolutely, it's patently absurd to say that there's no evidence. I mean, I guess a politician and the mass media can say there's no evidence when the evidence has been disallowed from being submitted. I mean, how big of a problem is that for you and your team?
Well, it's a huge problem to have a judge cover up for criminals who committed election fraud. That is the sad state of affairs in the American judicial system, as well as the Georgia judicial system. The whole judicial system in the country has been compromised by corrupt judges secretly assigned to these cases to subvert them and suppress the evidence, so that this criminal way in which elections are conducted secretly, you know, with secret results, and the inability to show the voters how the results are and the counts were reached, it's absurd. It's just absolutely absurd that we in America are going through this. But now that's really the facts of the whole thing. We've just been turned into a banana republic here with this a Marxist fascist approach to elections.
It's really sad, Garland. I really hate hearing that, but I've been saying it too. And, you know, it's like when the system of checks and balances is out of whack. I mean, I would argue that the Supreme Court is basically, you know, and then obviously, you know, various courtrooms around the country that have not been fully corrupted yet. That seems to be sort of the last bastion. I mean, our fourth estate's not a fourth estate anymore. The media is simply a cartel of intelligence agency stooges, I think, at this point. And that leads to the intelligence agencies. I mean, the fact that we have federal law enforcement and federal intelligence agencies that are standing by quietly or maybe even involved in this is quite frightening. How can we rein this in? I mean, I know voterga.org again is the website. I know you guys are doing a lot of work and a lot of people are doing a lot of work, but what's the prognosis here going forward, you think, as we approach 2024?
Well, Brian, the prognosis is not good for the reasons that you have said. There does appear to be intelligence agency involvement in all these problems. We've known about our own intelligence agencies involved in foreign elections, but they seem to be also involved in these elections here in America. So the prognosis is not good. We have closed some loopholes with a bill called Senate Bill 202 that passed in 2021. That closed quite a few of the loopholes, but there were so many loopholes that there's still many, many left to be exploited in 2024. So we're actively trying to pursue closing those loopholes and putting our finger in the dike so that we can have a secure 2024 election.
And, you know, I've spoken to some political analysts and political thinkers and campaigners and they admit that all this is going on too. They're concerned about it, but some of them with a trying to have a positive attitude, I would say, and we only have about a minute left, just so you know, short answer on this, but are saying that conservatives and Americans that don't want this anymore need to flood the ballots. And if enough of them do, that they can overcome the lawfare and potential fraud. Do you think that's possible?
Well, I assume it is possible, but it's a sad state of affairs when you have to go out and get, 10% or 20% more votes than you really should have to in order to win an election. So it's a sad state of affairs. We're working hard to try to prevent that from being the case. Everyone should have one vote.
Yes. Yes. 100%. All right, Garland Favorito, thank you so much for everything you're doing. VoterGA.org is the website where you follow him. I want to thank our board engineer, Luke, and Kimberly, TNT Radio, and you for listening. And stay tuned for the Misty Winston Show. It's going to be a banger right here on TNT Radio.